But the losers, however, are not just distant populations of the Middle East. Some of the victims of the Gulf War have also turned out to be right amongst the presumable victors of the war.
President of the National Gulf War Resource Center, Paul Sullivan.
In 1991, most Americans were very happy that the Gulf War apparently had ended. It was a quick, decisive victory, and hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops were returning home to parades. What happened a few months later was that thousands of veterans started to report medical problems, such as achy joints, memory problems. They kept falling ill, they were getting rashes, and there was no explanation.
Rhonda Habib, Agence France-Presse, Jordan.
Concerning the use of the type of weapons used by the Allies in the Gulf War, the first warning came from soldiers themselves, whether in Britain or in the US, when they started complaining of symptoms. And that was related to the Gulf War and to the use of the weapons. So it's obvious that it took so long until people took it seriously, because there was this conspiracy of silence.
Paul Sullivan.
The first response of the United States military and the United States government was to ignore it, to deny that there was any problem with the health status of American Gulf War veterans.
Rhonda Habib.
You had to keep the image of the good guys, namely the Allied, and the bad guy, who is Saddam. It's Saddam Hussein who would use chemical weapons and who would harm his own population and the world with this type of weapons. And it didn't look very nice to show that the Allies have been themselves using weapons that were harmful.
Over 696,000 U.S. troops served in the Gulf War. 183,629, almost one in four, file for disability. 9,592 died as of January 2002.
In the 1970s through the 1980s, the Pentagon, in complete secrecy, started experimenting with a new type of high-perforation shell made of the heaviest, hardest, most plentiful metal around, readily available without mining costs or efforts. A metal that just happened to be sitting there in the hands of the U.S. Department of Energy. Uranium waste.
Nuclear physicist Dr. Doug Rocky.
The U.S. Department of Energy and other nations that are involved in the enrichment have tremendous amounts of this waste left over, and they needed to find a use for it.
Depleted uranium rounds reached combat for the first time during the Gulf War. These rounds pierce anything known to this day, penetrating the thickest armor plates like butter. The downside, they are radioactive, contain traces of plutonium, the most toxic metal on Earth, and their debris remain radioactive for about 4.5 billion years.
Paul Sullivan.
Depleted uranium is a very hazardous toxic waste. For example, depleted uranium settles in the bone, it settles in the lungs, it settles in the liver, in the kidney, and also in the muscle and testicles. This is an experiment upon rats. Depleted uranium also crosses from a mother through the placenta to a fetus. All this information is widely available. However, the Pentagon, in their overwhelming desire, their passion to use depleted uranium weapons, is trying to suppress this medical research about its high toxicity.
Dan Fahey, Gulf War Veterans Advocate.
I could go through the early reports on this issue. You know, this is one from July 1990, where they say the most exposed individuals and soldiers you want to a battlefield after DU rounds are shot, saying that civilians and soldiers suffer health effects from inhalation and ingestion of DU dust, and even saying that once people realize the health and environmental effects of this weapon, there may be a move to ban it. And this was July 1990. This is just 6 months or so before the war. So you have to wonder why no warnings were ever disseminated to to any ground forces prior to the war, even just to say, stay away from the vehicles that have been hit. Don't go climbing on the equipment afterwards.
Paul Sullivan.
What the military didn't do was tell the soldiers that the ammunition used by our airplanes and our tanks during the Gulf War was made out of this highly toxic radioactive substance.
And because we didn't know about the radioactive waste being used as ammunition, people were just picking up things in the desert, whatever they could find as a war trophy. And I think that if they would have known, they wouldn't have never touched it.
Paul Sullivan.
More than 436,000 U.S. troops are confirmed to have entered into those areas of radioactive toxic waste. And sadly, some soldiers camped in areas contaminated by depleted uranium, radioactive toxic waste for up to 2 months without any idea, without any warning at all.
Gulf War Veterans Advocate Dan Fahey.
I just want to say something about the Iraqis too, that I've seen a lot of photos and talked to people who've been to Iraq, and I've also seen photos of Bedouins who go out in the desert and they go to the destroyed tanks, and I've seen photos of them literally digging in the sand next to these tanks to look for scrap metal, and they've been doing this for years, and they take the scrap metal that they can find and they go and they sell it so they can buy food. This is the situation in Iraq.
Dr. Anwar Abdul Messen, Basra General Hospital, Iraq.
If we compare the mortalities, that is the patients died because of cancer, in 1988 we have only 34 patients died because of cancer. But in 1998 we recorded 428 patients died because of cancer. Cancer, which affects elderly people, now it's seen in younger age groups. I have a patient who have cancer of the ovary, who is only 11 years old.
According to Dr. Faraz Abdul Abbas, none of the children in the leukemia ward know their prognosis, because all of them will die.